This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule. American history and practical math. You study them hard and hoping to pass.
Good afternoon from Dr. Ryan Jackson, Executive Lead Principal, Mount Pleasant Arts Innovation Zone. We are a pre-K through 12 STEAM campus located in Mount Pleasant, Tennessee, little pocket city outside of Columbia in Middle Tennessee area. Honored to talk with you guys today.
Talk to us about the models, the methods that you found that work and are game changers in the educational system.
I've had an incredible opportunity here in Mount Pleasant. Specifically, in terms of diversifying my own portfolio, I did the last 10 years in Metro Nashville Public Schools at Maplewood High School. That was East Nashville. So inner city, intense poverty, you know, coming out of that to, you know, on the cusp of true rural America here in Mount Pleasant, a city of only 5,200 people that has its own pre-K through 12 cluster located in the little city. And now having an opportunity, having been here in my fifth year as principal, to see what works, what doesn't work, what motivates, what inspires, the systems that we can apply and how that changes lives has been incredible. So to dig into that a little bit, you know, knew coming into Mount Pleasant that I wanted to take this idea of STEAM as education. Now, in education, we love acronyms. So STEAM is STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. Well, we embed art into that STEM curriculum, right? And when you embed art into STEM, creating STEAM, the impact is this holistic learning model that positions kids as creators, not merely consumers of content. So if we're talking about what's working, if we're talking about learning from what hasn't worked, you know, we put such an emphasis for a generation or more on standardized testing that we've stomped out so much of the joy, so much of the purpose, so much of the application in education.
I think that's one of the crimes of education up until today is teaching to the test.
Correct. So we take that idea, and instead of just whining about it, we created a legitimate model, and that gets into our work with our nonprofit partner, Kids on Stage, you know, where we went through an intense effort to sign on 9 different industry partners to sit on this independent board of directors that we meet with quarterly. And what these industry partners do is not only provide us insights to industry and what's expected, what's needed, but it also gives us real-time leverage in the classroom, whether that's on specific projects, whether that's mentorships, externships, internships. Just it closes, you know, the industry education gap. And that paradigm has been problematic for so long. We're now already starting to see real-time results. I mean, we've yielded results in just a short amount of time. I'll give you a specific example. You know, there is a labor shortfall crisis going on in this country. About 10,000 baby boomers retiring a day. And you're going to find that your welders, your fabricators, HVAC, electricians, plumbers, construction, sheet metal workers, they just cannot fill these positions. And education, I stand on this soapbox because I get so passionate about it. You know, education for so long made students feel less than if your mindset, if your track wasn't 4-year university or bust. So what we've done is we've dismantled that model. We've really deconstructed that, and we create a pipeline for every type of student. So through this Kids on Stage model that we have with our 9 industry partners and our systems thinking approach, we can now get kids to take ownership of their educational journey at a much younger age.
Give us a visual word picture of Kids on Stage.
Essentially, the concept of Kids on Stage is there are many stages throughout life, throughout education. Now, it originally conceptually started as, you know, an arts-based curriculum, an arts-based idea, and that was in its inception in around 2000. We have evolved out of that into this idea that there are so many different stages. You know, right now, BMC Metals will start you out at about 37.5 if you're an 18-year-old welder. So if you can go through the Mount Pleasant High School new welding pathway that we have, you can graduate with no student loan debt, have a solid skills-based career at only 18 with really no ceiling.
And they're certified welder.
Certified welders coming out of this program, going immediately into the workforce. But, you know, you still have to be able to interview. You still have to be able to sell yourself. You still have to be able to perform on demand. So the Kids on Stage model now prepares students for all walks, whether that's a theater production or whether that's getting you ready for that interview or that welding application that you're getting ready to submit.
So you're doing literal mock interviews and whatnot.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Talk a little bit more about tangible applications of the STEAM process for the kids. How do they, what do they work on, and what are those epiphanous moments for them?
Sure. So in regards to STEAM, it's kind of the fulcrum there is like what we call PBL, project-based learning. So again, you want kids thinking and doing, not just consuming. And I want you creating, right? You know, I like to get into conversations about United States, China, consumers, creators, what we don't do anymore versus what we used to do. Well, we do want to position our kids as creators. So think PBL, project-based learning. Great example would be we have a partnership with NASA, and it's called the NASA Hunch Program. High schools united with NASA to build hardware for the International Space Station. So right now our kids are designing, developing, and selling their idea to NASA on how to build a lunar habitat where they will insulate it in such a way with dust that connects energy to it from the sun, so you have these self-sustaining habitats on Mars. So the kids in real time are developing this project, working with their NASA mentor, working with the teacher of record at the school, various stakeholders that they have to communicate with, that they have to sell their ideas to. It's competition based, so there's outcomes, deadlines. It's collaborative in nature, so you have to learn how to work with your team.
Are they actually physically making mock-ups?
So they are. They design the prototypes, and then those prototypes essentially compete at the end of the semester, and then one of those will be developed into something much larger with the idea that one day your dream is shot into space. You know, that's just a one example of many where we try to connect some kind of art piece, be it visual or performing art, to a project that has a core content or multiple core content areas attached to it as well. So the kids stop seeing these curriculums, these content areas in isolation and silos, and start to see how they intersect seamlessly, how there's synergy in everything. You know, you go back to the industrial age where we're ramping up factories. You know, I think of like Upton Sinclair's The Jungle, you know, just kind of that era and why we started designing education to look the way it still looks today. So we can't push deeper, you know, into the 21st century, but expect like new outcomes based on a paradigm that's 100 plus years old, right? But at the same time, I think we still have to look at what works or what is missing. And that's where I go back to what we used to call vocational education. Now they call it CTE, career and technical education. And we have to begin doubling down on that again as well, because we've canned a lot of those programs. And, you know, we're bringing them back to the forefront. We're putting this STEAM twist on it. So, you know, you may be a welder or fabricator, but now you may be a welder or fabricator that's working on an artisan tiny house that we're building at the high school right now. So you've got multiple kids with different skill sets, different passions, working on one project, whether it's a tiny house that you're building that's only 260 square feet, but it's absolutely amazing. We'll sell it at market value for probably $55,000, whether it's that project or it's a play, a theater production. You know, if you're a student who could give a lick about being on stage, but you love to build, you love to create, you're in our construction program, you've helped build and design the set, you've now got some fingerprints on that. Back to that purpose, back to that belonging. I now want to bring my people to the production so they can see the work that I was a part of, and I never set one foot on that stage as an actor.
And that would include marketing and promotion.
Exactly. Yeah. So tapping into all facets
and
of
graphics
it.
For brochures and things.
Showing kids that there is a skill set that you have that I can apply to any project we have on this campus and make you feel like you belong.
That being said, you know, we both have watched people graduate from high school and go into the trades and 4 years later making bank, man. Some auto mechanics guys, you know, $100 an hour.
Yeah, I joke with people all the time. You know, you don't really appreciate a plumber or understand how much a plumber can demand until you have to hire one. you know, and they come in, and really it's open up your checkbook.
Yeah, I mean, no kidding.
And that's
well,
the reality of it.
Talk to your banker.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
Then the other end of the spectrum, and we both went through that 20th century world where everybody is pushed for the four-year college, when we both knew there were guys that never, they didn't want to go there. They never should have gone there.
It's an absolutely fine track, although I do have personal opinions about predatory lending and student loan debt crisis and things of that nature that's gotten us into some of the jams we're in now. I'm not here to deter anyone from that model. What I'm saying is we need to revisit the idea, just as you've said, that not everybody is suitable and or wants that.
Exactly.
Let's make sure that we have the kind of programs and pipelines available at the school level where everyone can find success. And it's totally doable. We're doing it here in Mount Pleasant, Tennessee.
For your graduates, you still have Tennessee Promise, right?
Correct.
So at least the first 2 years?
Yes.
What happens to this last 2 years?
So let's say you're in the Tennessee Promise deal, you go to Columbia State for 2 years, you've earned your associate's degree in business administration. You know, you can now take those credit hours and leverage that into MTSU and finish out, you know, with a four-year degree.
But as far as debt-free education,
you've cut it in half. You're now going to accrue a little bit of debt on those back 2 years, but it's a heck of a lot better than, you know, stepping out with $125,000 in student loan debt.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, a little bit more about what's closest to your heart and what you would advocate other areas. Like, for example, your model, how much is that happening across Tennessee?
Well, two pieces. One, we're the only school cluster in the state of Tennessee to be designated by the Tennessee Department of Education and the Tennessee STEM Innovation Network as a pre-K through 12 STEAM campus.
So how do you make that go viral across Tennessee? How do you replicate that?
Starts with, we formed an executive leadership team with myself as the executive lead, and then my elementary principal, the middle school principal. We have an art director, a STEM director, an assistant principal who does all of our data dashboard collection. So getting everyone on the same page, from vertical alignment, collaborative planning, systems thinking. So each person on my executive leadership team runs a system. We have a post-secondary pathway system, where Dr. Tim Drinkwine, who's our middle school principal, he leads all counselors across the campus. And the idea there is getting kids to take ownership of their educational journey much earlier. Ms. Julie Tidwell, she leads our campus and community system, how we communicate throughout the community about all the cool things going on, especially in high poverty areas. Mount Pleasant, Tennessee is a storied city. You know, the phosphate capital of the world at one time, fell on hard times in the early 90s when all the chemical factories move out of town. So we're dealing with a generation that's seen severe hard times. At one point, the city had a 25% unemployment rate.
Right, but I'm talking about growing that. For example, you probably have contacts in East Nashville.
Sure.
Are you inviting them to come here? Are you going there?
No, we are. We give an incredible amount of tours. I'm a keynote speaker. I speak on the power of this model. I speak on, you know, how to develop those industry partnerships, how to leverage those partnerships. So a lot of promotion and push through social media, which I leverage all platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, et cetera. You know, spreading that word out there, inviting people to come in. We probably average a tour or two a month. That's slowed down a little bit with COVID. You know, multiple Chamber of Commerce have come down, Dixon Chamber of Commerce, Nashville Chamber of Commerce, Murray Alliance here, Chamber of Commerce, to see the work that we're doing, how we're closing that gap. So trying to do some inspiration while also trying to solidify the model that we do have. We still feel like we're in our infancy. You
sure.
know, we're only a couple years into this.
I wish I could go with you to school today, man. That'd be cool.
It is. It's a good time. Even given the challenges we've had with COVID, I think what has been incredible, and this directly speaks to even COVID times, you know, the culture that we've created with staff buy-in, student buy-in. I'm real big on a guy named Michael Glasser. He had a book in 1969 called Schools Without Failure about getting kids to make these psychological commitments. So bringing kids together and having these, either making commitments to nonviolence, making commitments to creating a post-secondary pathway, a plan for yourself. So this culture that we've created has kept people wanting to come to school, wanting to come to work, you know, even in the midst of this thing. I think that's palpable. I think it's a testament to the model where everybody has a sense of purpose. purpose, that what they're doing directly impacts the bottom line. You say, well, what's the bottom line? It's changing lives. It's no more complicated, yet no more simplified than that. I mean, it is changing lives, especially the lives of the underdog. You talked about what's closest to my heart. Man, I am here to serve the underdogs, students who may or may not have someone in their life to give them that inspiration, to help guide them to that next step, where school should be a catalyst. School should be a slingshot into something better. I'm not necessarily here to tell you what that better is for you, but we will work with you collaboratively to help you find what that is. So we keep you in school, we get you graduated, and when we release you to the world, you have some sense of purpose with hopefully a skilled trade in your pocket that you can leverage to your benefit.
Somebody wanted to learn more about your world and your passion and your visions?
I would love to share our journey. I would love to give you a tour. You know, we have a saying, seeing is believing. So you can find me. I'm Dr. Ryan B. Jackson, executive lead principal of the Mount Pleasant Arts Innovation Zone, which is a pre-K through 12 STEAM campus in Mount Pleasant, Tennessee. And I don't want to mince words here. We are a Title I cluster. That means we are a public school system receiving Title I funds, which means we have a lot of students that are socioeconomically disadvantaged. You can find me at Mount Pleasant High School Monday through Friday. You can find me on Twitter at Ryan B. Jackson 1. You can also find me on Instagram, Facebook. I'm constantly sharing our story, telling our story, but would love to give you a firsthand look at what we're doing here in Mount Pleasant, Tennessee.
Thank you so much for sharing.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Wonderful. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Tennessee. We'll see you here.
American history and practical man. Study them hard and hoping to pass. Working your fingers right down to the bone. And the guy behind you won't leave you alone. Ring, ring goes the bell.
The Dr. Jackson STEAM Education Show is the 12th in a multi-part series showcasing Nashville's Big Backyard, an economic and tourism initiative that encompasses the Natchez Trace National Parkway in Tennessee's southwest quarter down to the Shoals region in northern Alabama.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. Donations like clothing, your gently used couch, or still serviceable washing machine generate funds to assist the Society in putting food on the table for people in need, or keeping the lights on and families in their homes. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org.
He said, don't stray too far from the land, boy. The land will one day set you free. When the cities all are dying, folks up there crying, land will save you, wait and see. So I loaded up my car and moved to Denver, work a job and chase big city dreams. But I never found the life I really wanted till I came back home to Leaper's Fork, Tennessee. He said, don't stray too far from the land, boy. The land will one day set you free. When the cities all are dying, the folks up there are crying, land will save you, wait and see. It didn't hit me quite as hard then as those words come through today. But in the chaos all around me, I can still hear Grandpa say, don't stray too far from the land, boy. The land will one day set you free. When the cities all are dying, the folks up there are crying, the land will save you, wait and see.